So I will thank Mary Fisher. Welcome to the Health Commission. And it's a pleasure for us to receive you. In fact, you are a fantastic woman.
Thank you.
You have made excellent work in the world. We congratulations about that. And we expect with this discussion to learn more about your experience and some message that you can leave us, because you are here like a politician, to develop the idea that you are in the world defending. Mary Fisher, take the floor, please.
Is that good? Honorable members of Parliament, distinguished guests and colleagues, I was deeply honored by your kind invitation, and I'm humbled to be among such accomplished leaders. You are servants to the people of this great republic, and you're committed to the health and welfare of every Portuguese citizen. You have welcomed me generously. I'm indebted to you. And I thank you. I've come to Portugal this week at the request of the United States government, owing in part to my engagement with the HIV/AIDS epidemic. I've come to learn from you, knowing the course of the AIDS epidemic in Portugal is parallel in so many ways to the path taken by AIDS in the United States. The rates of infection among our populations are approximately the same. Here, as in the United States, the virus has increasingly come to be at home in the mainstream of society. It has jumped every barrier that those who were comfortable believed gave them protection. The fastest growth patterns are found among young men, among women, among people who are well-educated, among those who live comfortable urban and suburban lives. I recognize this pattern, of course, because more than 20 years, this is how I came to be a woman with AIDS. It was 1991. I was a mother with two small children, sons, the daughter of a political and business leader, a woman who had left her career in media to serve the President of the United States. I was active in philanthropy, in community service, and in raising my children. When I made the stunning discovery that my husband had brought all of his history into our marriage, with his history came AIDS. For the first half dozen years after my diagnosis as an HIV-positive woman, I prepared to die. I lay with my husband on his deathbed, offering what comfort I could summon while realizing that my own suffering was only a few years behind his. When my children and I gathered at his grave, it was as difficult to look forward to a deeply uncertain future as it was to look back. The advent of antiretroviral drugs has since made it possible for people with AIDS to once again take control of their lives. As one who has survived on these drugs, I can tell you that they come with sometimes brutal side effects at a cost which can be prohibitive and with consequences that are often unintended, from fierce depressions to increased risk of a host of cancers. I added my own struggle with breast cancer early in 2012. What I have learned while a pilgrim on the road to AIDS, in the United States and in dozens of nations while serving as a special representative of the United Nations, is this. We have the science necessary to stop the virus in nearly every instance. Science has performed the miracle for which so many of us begged. But what science has delivered we as nations and as communities have not always employed. We know today how the virus is transmitted and how it is not transmitted, and therefore we have the knowledge needed to prevent most infections. But despite what we know, ignorance continues to be the virus's best friend. We refuse to educate our children, even knowing that ignorance could kill them. We defend our decision to keep them vulnerable on moral grounds. Well, it's a strange morality that promotes ignorance over knowledge, that tells our children that we would rather risk their lives than save them. We know today that the virus loves everyone who is human. It does not prefer male or female. It loves us both, even though women are biologically more prone to infection. It does not prefer Jews over Christians, the atheist over the religious, the Republican over the socialist. It loves with equal abandon the heterosexual and the homosexual, the entrepreneur and the immigrant, the member of motorcycle gangs and the member of parliament. It loves those who are human, and it will love us to death. So I have come to Portugal to learn from you, to see what opportunities you have uncovered to resist the virus, to hear what solutions you have invented to save lives, to understand how, in an age of cruel fiscal austerity, you promote health in the face of a growing epidemic. And as I learn, I am honored that you would allow me also to share the lessons that we have learned around the world over the third of a century that we've lived with AIDS. We have learned that there is no alternative to communicating accurate information about the virus that causes AIDS. Those who are most vulnerable tend also to be most ignorant. They believe that the person they love could not be infected. It is not true. They believe that they are immortal. They are not. They believe that AIDS has been cured. It has not. If we wish to save their lives, the most effective and the most efficient strategy is education built on candid, convincing, accurate communication. We have learned that we will need to provide safety and protection for those who believe they have been at risk. The man who fears that to be tested is to be publicly exposed, and that to be publicly exposed is to be publicly humiliated, such a man will not soon be tested for AIDS, even if he believes he has been at risk. Instead of being tested, he remains a carrier of the virus, capable of infecting all who trust him. The woman who has been beaten and shamed into obedience within a violent relationship. The teenager who has been raped and dares not tell for fear of her family's rejection. The young man who experimented with intravenous drugs or unprotected sex. Each of these will hopefully seek testing and therefore become eligible for treatment. Only if we can assure them that they are protected from further abuse and stigma. When testing is the exception for pregnant women, not the rule, when women are told that they are not at risk because they are not that kind of woman, I would like to say that I am also not that kind of woman. I was a decent, caring, working mother with two preschool sons. I remain a woman committed to honorable values and important charities. Women who are pregnant have been sexually active. We can prevent mother-to-child transmission in practically 100% of all pregnancies if we test. And we have learned the great value of antiretroviral treatments. Not only do the drugs prolong the life of one with AIDS, but properly used, They dramatically reduce the risk of transmission. It costs money to test, to enroll, and to maintain the care of a person with AIDS. But we have learned in nation after nation, year after year, that it will cost more money not to tell, not to enroll, and not to maintain the care of a person with AIDS. When I learned that I had cancer last year, my friends and family rallied to support me. I went looking for the best possible surgeon. But when I learned that I had AIDS, my friends and family wondered what I had done to deserve such an illness. I went looking for a place to hide. I was learning the power of stigma and discrimination, the capacity of judgment and shame to make us feel unclean and unworthy. What we have done as societies to brand those with AIDS is stunning. We have used slurs and demeaning language to make them feel guilty. We have treated them as less than human. We allow discrimination to be practiced in ways that truly double the suffering of those with AIDS. We promote stigma in our stereotypes, our silence, and even our policies. Therefore, I make this plea to you. Write even more policies that protect those who are vulnerable so that they will not fear to be tested, and they will not need to pay for their fear with their lives. Take public stands that encourage persons with AIDS to tell their stories, knowing they are saving the lives of others. Do not allow such heroes to be punished, their families to be shunned, their fortunes or their jobs to be erased by community judgment. Bring the hope of compassion into the plague of our generation. Deliver the courage in the place of judgment, kindness in the face of stigma. Should some child ask what you have done as a member of parliament, you may tell them that you have worked for human rights and human dignity, spoken out in defense of those too weak to speak for themselves. I beg of you, shine the light of justice into the darkness of hatred, and we will, all of us, in Portugal and around the globe, give thanks for your leadership and your honor. Until that day, I promise to remember you with this ancient prayer. Grace to you and peace. Obrigada.
Thank you very much, Mary, for your lesson, humanity, courage. And nowadays we are learning more. And I pass take the floor. Ricardo Leite, to present the situation in Portugal.
Okay. Thank you, Vice President. Thank you, Mary Fisher. And I thank also the American Embassy for allowing this encounter to happen. Your testimony is very impressive, I must say, and it really touches many of the issues that those of us who fight against AIDS every day confront, but with a face now. And so that takes a lot of courage, and I congratulate you and I thank you in the name of the fight against AIDS for doing what you're doing. And I think it is a real honor for all of us here today to be able to be in your presence and to hear your experience. And I'm sure you'll continue for many years from here to come to continue the fight. Here in Portugal, we have we had the opportunity to have lunch, just a quick summary also for my colleagues. We have here in our parliament an all-party group. It's a work group where every party with representation in the parliament has a seat, And this work group works exclusively on the problem of HIV/AIDS. It was created following a recommendation of an NGO of activists in our country called GATT. And we found that the importance of this work group was even greater due to the economic crisis we are in. The truth is, Portugal and the rest of the European Union are going through one of its most deepest financial crises in its history, and that has really brought about the frailty and the lack of sustainability of our healthcare systems. And especially in a time like that, we must keep a close eye on the HIV/AIDS problematic. Portugal, as you know, has a prevalence rate of estimated at 0.7% in our general population. We have 10.3 new infections per 100,000 people in our country, which puts us in fifth place in Europe. Worse than Portugal, we can only find Estonia, Latvia, the UK, and Belgium. So we still have a long way to go. Despite many of the conquests we have been able to conceive over the last 10 years, the number of new infections has dropped to half in the last decade. But we still have a long way to go. Due to the challenges we have in our country, this work group here in the Parliament decided back in 2011 to prepare a resolution project that I have handed to you in English that basically states the recommendations that the Parliament has given to the government of Portugal for its conduct in fighting HIV/AIDS. What is interesting about that resolution project is, firstly, it was approved by all parties, so it has unanimous support of all parties in the Parliament, which gave it political strength. But on the other hand, to make that project, we got all the stakeholders involved. We had hearings with pharma, we had hearings with healthcare professionals, we had hearings with NGOs, and everybody who wanted to give an opinion had the chance to do that and to do so. And the main basis of the project was basically what you said. We have the science to end AIDS, so it's time to act. And we must, and we've subscribed the 3 zeros goals that UNAIDS has stated, so zero new infections, zero deaths, and zero cases of discrimination in the future. In Portugal, we continue to have universal access to therapy. That is something that we consider to be crucial in the fight against HIV/AIDS. But we still have a long way to go. When it comes to prevention, we have noticed that vulnerable populations, men having sex with men, sex workers, migrants, prisoners, have high prevalence rates of over 10% in most of them. So we really need focused programs, despite the general globalized programs that we had in the past and that we must continue to have and we must reinstate. Your presence here is actually important to show the importance of gender when we talk about HIV/AIDS, but also to talk about the importance of heterosexual transmission, which sometimes is forgotten, and we were talking about this at lunch today, about how it's important to also not forget the big problem, which is heterosexual transmission, and especially the people in the younger age, because that's one of the problems we've seen. People look at AIDS as a chronic disease, and so they think it doesn't kill people anymore. They don't see the seriousness of the disease and how, as you said, difficult taking these kind of drugs is. Another big issue we have in Portugal that we're trying to fight is the late presentation of the disease. 2/3 of the people who are diagnosed in Portugal already have a very advanced stage of disease, which brings, of course, lower life expectancy, higher costs to the health system. So we really need to push, and we're doing that, we're pushing forward early detection, using NGO work, which is extraordinary, trying to get doctors to push forward the test, asking people to do it voluntarily. And so if we get people diagnosed earlier, we can treat them, and that way we can actually cut the chain of the transmission, which is our main goal. I've offered you a three-page statement where basically you have a summary of many of the accomplishments we've been able to achieve over the last 3 years. We still have a long way to go, of course, and especially when it comes to health education, it's one of the areas we really have to push forward. But I thank you once again for being here. I'm sure that everyone is even more inspired to continue our work to fight against AIDS, to see if, for once and for all, we can really end the HIV/AIDS epidemic in our country. Thank you.
Thank you, Ricardo. Luisa Salgueiro.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, it's not easy to find the right words to say after your impressive testimony. But still, we should say that it's a great honor to receive you here at our parliament. In this moment, I'm the only socialist MP, so I must thank you in behalf of all the socialist MPs. It's very important to have you here with us. Of course, we all heard and read about your whisper of heads in 1992. The world knows your speech. Everyone that works in this HIV/AIDS work knows you well, but it's quite important for us to know you personally. We can say a lot of things here, but nothing that we can say means exactly what I believe people feel when they can stay with you and hear your words and all the fights that you have going through and you are still going through. We as parliaments, we do the law, we want to do always the best law, and we read a lot of books and we read a lot of files, but we must have time to know people like you. Your presence here will mean a lot for us. And Portugal, Ricard just did a very small resume of the situation in Portugal, but we must say that in spite that we are a good example in European Union, in this moment we have new worries because of the finance crisis, you know. Even the access to antiretroviral medicines is getting more difficult, especially for the poor people, of course. And that means that we can go behind in this situation. So we are worried about that. And we, as in this moment, the Socialist Party, we are in the opposition and we are still fighting to get that issue in a higher level. That's our big worry. Of course, when you have a finance crisis, else can be a good issue to cut. And that's what we are trying to avoid. We must say that we want to keep this contact with you if we can. We must change some information and contacts because it will be for sure a great opportunity for us to continue to get information for you. And still, there are not a lot of words that we can say here. It cannot mean all that we feel when we have here with you. So we don't need Ricardo the Great characterization, and we just say that we are very happy to have you here, and we look forward to keep in contact with you. Thanks.
Thank you, Luisa. Serpa Oliva.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mary Fisher. My English is very bad. I never speak.
My Portuguese is worse.
But I never speak in English or other language in my parliament. You have somebody to traducing? Yes? Thank you very much.
Your English was going so good.
Depois de ouvir os testemunhos do deputado Ricardo Leite e da deputada Luisa Salgueiro, obviamente que pouco é necessário acrescentar. Em primeiro, em nome do CDS, Partido Popular, um partido de Gênesis Democrata Cristã. Gostava de a felicitar e de lhe agradecer a mulher que é. São mulheres como a Mary Fisher que mudam o mundo. E, portanto, é para nós uma honra, e mais do que uma honra, ficamos esmagados pela forma como se dedicou a esta causa. Portanto, em primeiro lugar, em meu nome e do partido que aqui represento, o nosso bem-aja, o nosso obrigado. Em primeiro lugar, em nome do partido que aqui represento e em meu próprio, o nosso obrigado pela mulher que é, pela pessoa que é. Depois das dúvidas e dos aspectos levantados pelos dois deputados que me antecederam, gostaria de lhe pôr apenas duas questões. Penso que em Portugal tem sido feito um esforço e o HIV está neste momento controlado. Mas tivemos a semana passada aqui uma delegação de Timor-Leste, onde se fala também português, cuja maior preocupação, do seu ponto de vista de saúde pública, era a questão do HIV. Gostaria de saber quais as ações que tem previstas para aquela parte do mundo, Timor-Leste. We received last week a delegation.
I don't have plans, but you never know. I mean, I go where there are problems.
But I think they have a great problem.
In East Timor.
They have East Timor.
Other countries who speak also English, Portuguese, it's Mozambique and Angola. If you have some action in these countries or not?
I just spent a week in Mozambique, and at the behest of the embassy there, and met with so many NGOs and government officials, and I think that you know, you never know if you make a difference. I never know, so I just keep trying, and hopefully something happens.
And the other thing, it's only in the United States. The problem is now, atualmente, nos Estados Unidos, como está o problema.
In the United States, we have some of the same problems you do. We have very similar infection graphs happening. We have expensive drugs that people do not have access to unless they have insurance, or they make so little money that they're on assistance. Now, Hopefully, with the new laws coming in, we'll be able to help more people. But right now, it's been difficult. Our biggest issue in the United States is watching the epidemic pop up again in young gay men and heterosexual traditions, because the numbers, it's like any other kind of epidemic. It goes into the socioeconomic areas that have no voice, and they don't listen, and they don't get the information. The younger population, even if they have the information, seem to think that it's a disease of another generation. And they feel immortal, I guess. I can't quite figure it out myself. I have no answer for this. But that doesn't mean that we don't keep trying. I know that for many years it was an abstinence-only message, which, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't work very well. It's wonderful if you say to young people, if you don't want to get a sexually transmitted disease, don't have sex. But then these young people aren't going to listen to you at all, because the truth is they're having sex. And so we have to give them the tools and the knowledge and the information where they can make thoughtful choices about what they do with their own bodies. But not to educate and not to have this information available to teachers and churches, and I think is difficult. Parents have a difficult time, schools have a difficult time, churches have a difficult time, but that doesn't mean that we stop. We're working very hard there, but we haven't been able to stem the tide. We have over 50,000 new infections a year. That's a lot. And it boggles my mind, because the awareness is there. So we still have to keep talking. It's become, because of the ARVs, I think it's become that there's some complacency. You know, people think, oh, it's chronic. Now I take a pill and it's no problem. And part of my message is that's not really true. And not everybody can take the medications. I, for one, can't take the strongest ones, so I have to be monitored more frequently to be sure my numbers are okay. So we're working at it. But I see your numbers and your story here, and I think, you know, we're very similar. So yes, I would love to stay in touch, because I think we could learn so much from each other as the days go on and the years go on. I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Thank you very much, Mary Fisher.
Thank you. Anyone wants to make some question to the Mary? Oh, more one? Okay, Luisa.
After all these years doing the advocacy about this issue, what do you feel is the, how can you compare the situation in the world that you know now and when you started? What are the main differences?
The main differences between now and before is that I'm older. And I'm grateful for that. I was telling people today that all of the people that treat me, the doctors, my doctor says birthdays are his business. So it's all good to get older. But I look at it differently. And I still see stigma. I still see discrimination. I still see difficulty getting people tested. I see, because we don't have that happening, we have more and more infections. So for me, I get frustrated because I see great work on the ground in places, NGOs that are doing amazing things in different countries, people living better, longer, but I still see the issues and the problems and that we have a long way to go.
Thank you, Mary. In name of the Parliamentary Health Commission, I will thank you very much. Personally, you gave me today a great lesson about to love the life. I believe more in the solidarity, humanity, and the courage to engage in these areas like you. Thank you very much. I think the person like you helped change the world, change our mentalities, mainly our mentalities. Thank you very much. Came another time.
I would love that.
Thank you very much.